You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 21. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you. Thank you for thy word. Thank you for your presence to make the word, to outwork the word in our head and heart. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, as we're coming to the end, we found our Lord on the shores. He had served Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and two disciples. He fed them a breakfast, as we did all that background. And then he singled Peter out as they're all sitting there. And remember, they're there, and they've gone fishing, and God is going to help them. And Peter is there, and Peter is singled out of all of them that are there. And remember now, they have been with our Lord for 3 1/3 years. The resurrection has taken place. The Lord has been there and with them, and then he sent them to Galilee, and Peter and James and John went fishing instead of doing what they were told, to go to the mountain. And in the process of all of that, just as we put it together, reminding you, Peter, James, and John, all of them, been there 3 1/3 years. They had the awesome experience of the crucifixion and their response to it. It was an awesome, awful thing. But then you could get discouraged and depressed and defeated. But lo and behold, on the third day, as he said, that Saturday evening, which is the beginning of the first day of the week, he arose. And he went, and we read the sequence to the different, to Mary and the disciples in the upper room, and then he sent them to Galilee. And here they are. Now, keep in mind, Peter has been a leader among them, and he's the one that wanted to go fishing. Now, having said that, and we reminded ourselves, for 3 1/3 years, they have been with him. God and the outworking of his wonderful, wonderful work. And God has done what he's done. And they've seen his miracles, his signs, his wonders. They've been with him. And they didn't have to worry about food. They didn't have to worry about money. They didn't have to worry about anything. They didn't have to worry about getting sick. They had everything. And they had it. But the life found in our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't in their life. So they were with the most remarkable person, our Lord. And all they could do is enjoy the marvel of his marvelous person. That's all they could do, is enjoy the marvel of his person. That's what they did. And in the process, they never had it. They never had it. And without him, it was just the ordinary Peter, James, and John. We're just us. Just us without him. And now, here they are, having on the other side, and the Lord's helping them, and that's how they are. But just us humans. And reminding you and myself, God created us, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, in his image and likeness. God created us, image and likeness, to be able, God made us, so that when he looked at his creation, that's us humans, he would find himself. He would find, like a mirror. He would look into the image and likeness. We were able to reflect God's awesome person in a most magnificent way. That's what God made us for, to know and understand that unique relationship. Now, having said that, sin came along and took that away. So we lost the relationship. We have a relationship to us humans, and we do what I do, what we do. Us humans, for all of these centuries, and we do it. And different buildings, different everything, but we're the same. No matter when, you go back 1,000 years, or go back 10 years, we're the same people. We're the same humans having different things, different clothes, and there we are. But we're all the same. We're never like he intended us to be in his image and likeness. We need to know the Lord as our Savior. And that's what God does in a most wonderful way to help us to know him, so that God can restore the relationship by way of Calvary's cross, by way of our Lord, and we receive him as our Savior. And God changes us and begins the change to be like him, so that he can find himself as he intended in his image and likeness, so that we enjoy the marvel of God's wonderful care, his wonderful person in a most wonderful way. So all of us humans, here we are. We're all able to compare ourselves, the good guys and the bad guys, and we're all there doing what we do. But we're still what? We're here. We're just here. That's all we are. We're just humans. The good and the bad, the terrible, wars, rumors of wars, and everything, that's all we are. God, did you want us to be like this? No. He wanted us to know him and to be like him and to enjoy a relationship to him. That is what is missing. So we have to be careful. The good and good people and bad people and all of them are there, and nice people, but they aren't saved. They go no higher than us humans. And God didn't intend us to be dead humans, as we shared together. God meant us to have life, a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God in a most awesome way. He wanted us to have life. But Peter, James, and John, and all of them, for 3 and 1/3 years, up to the resurrection, all they could do is see him. And when he was missing, as they went to Galilee, and here they are, and it was a wonderful adventure, an awesome person, and I guess he finished it. He's resurrected from the dead. He's gone. We might as well go back to fishing, back to the normal life. Nothing's changed. We're the same as we did three or something years ago. We're the same. We got nothing. We need to be changed. That's what you need to understand. God died on the cross and rose again. And he made it possible for a wonderful, wonderful relationship to be restored because of his death and resurrection. And Peter, James, and John are waiting for what? The day of Pentecost, Acts 1:8 and 2, Acts 2, 1, 2, 3, for the Spirit of God. They're waiting for the Spirit of God to make real all of the wonderment that God has made possible on the cross. All that Jesus Christ did on the cross can never happen without the Spirit of God. When you think of being saved and what God did for you, God died in Christ, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make that real, to make it right. You need to understand that. You can't eliminate. You put the Spirit of God out of the picture, You don't have anything. All you've got is a wonderful event and a wonderful person that you can't relate to. Now you need that to understand that. So when we read together verse 21, 15, 16, 17, our Lord went in his most gracious way to help Peter. Remember we shared together, he used three questions. Three times he said, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter said, "I don't love you like you love. I love you like Philadelphia love, phileo. I love you like that love. A friend, kindness, affection. Not the love like you have got. Not that." And we shared together as we did all that wonderful thing. God helped them. And Peter was grieved, saddened. Why? Because he couldn't. Our Lord used the same word. Remember we shared it in verse 17. Our Lord said, "Are you my friend, Peter?" And Peter said, "You know I'm your friend." He didn't want him as a friend. He wanted him as God. He wanted to love him. But he used the same word as Peter did so that he would, Peter, that's why, wow, Peter got the message. That's all I am is his friend. He's a wonderful person. I'm committed to him. But it's all over. Wow. That's where he is. Now, in God, and we shared together, what's missing? Peter needs to be loved. Peter does. Peter doesn't understand that yet, but he will. God, Peter, you're trying to use your feelings and your fears and your love and your caring. You're trying to make a relationship work in and by yourself. And in and by yourself, you can't make the relationship work. It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So now, keeping that in mind, God is going to do a wonderful work. And on the day of Pentecost, God's going to fill him with the Spirit of God. One of the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace. The Spirit of God's going to bring what? The love of God into his heart. That's what he needs. All he needs to possess that which God provides by Calvary's cross, by giving his life, to give us his love. And therefore we share together one of our great problems as believers. We don't let God love us. We just don't do it. What do you mean, God love us? God loves. God is love. 1 John 4:16. God is love. And God goes and does a wonderful, wonderful thing. He saves us in a most wonderful, wonderful way to know him and honor him. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, as we look to God, God is going to love him. What is love? Love is what God wants you to know, to understand, to enjoy a relationship to his awesome person in an awesome way. To be able to enjoy God. God wants you to be everything that he has in mind. God has a wonderful plan before you were ever created. We share all these things. A wonderful plan, and God saves us in a most wonderful way. To be loved, God is going to change us to enjoy his awesome person in a wonderful way. And if you let God love you, he's going to change your life. You're going to change your life. But we don't want to be changed. Oh, that's our problem. We don't let God love us. God is going to do a wonderful thing to love us. So therefore, I understand God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves me. God loves you. God loves us. God loves us. And he gave himself for us. When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I receive God's love in God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I receive the love of God. And you receive the love of God as your Savior. When I receive the love of God, God is going to go and bring his love into my life and yours. when God brings his life in, it's going to change. He's going to bring it. So I begin to enjoy being saved, being a son, having an awesome future. I enjoy God's being saved, being forgiven, wonderfully, wonderfully forgiven. Thank you. I'm letting God love me. The more I let God love me, the love of God is changing my life. And I want what God, I love being loved. I love letting God love me. So he's changing me. And as I change, so what's happening? I'm letting God love me and I'm loving God. Peter, you're going to love me. I'm going to be more than your friend. I'm going to love you. And you're going to love being loved. That's what's missing. To let God change us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, that's Peter. So we slide down and we share together in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, that thou, whence thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee to whither thou wouldst not. In other words, you did what you wanted to do yesterday and the day before, fishing or whatever. You did what you wanted. As you wanted it, as you saw it, you did what you wanted. The day is coming that you are not going to be able to do what you want. And someone, then they're going to take you and they're going to go and crucify you. Peter is told how he's going to die. He's going to die by crucifixion. That's how he's going to die. And you pick it up in verse 19. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow thou me. Now, just to tie that together, what did Peter particularly commit himself to? What did Peter want? Over, if I can, back over to John and John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, if I can, you'll catch it in the light of the upper room when we did it. Remind yourself. John chapter 13. Picking up, please, if I can, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, you canst not follow me. Follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Afterwards. How, Peter, did you, what is your response? Verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? Why can't I follow thee? I will lay down my life. I will lay down my life for thy sake. All the way, I'm going to go all the way. Our Lord is going to help him. And under, Peter, you want to go all the way, I'm going to let you. I'm going to let you go, and you're going to live. And just before Paul dies, Peter dies. And Peter dies by crucifixion. That's how he dies. God told him how he's going to die, and he did. He died. And we shared together last time about death. So you understand death, the awesome reality of being dead, spiritually dead. That's what humans are. They're disconnected. AM, no FM. All they can get is AM. Turn the dial. No God. You can pray, you can preach, you can teach, you can be a bishop, whatever you want. But there's no God. You have no life. You have to have the Son to have life. And you don't have any. You're dead. That's what need people, what do humans need? They need life. They need a relationship to God. Otherwise, they're just the same. With no relationship. Nice people, bad people, it doesn't make any difference. They're not saved. They're not saved. They need to be saved. God created them in a most wonderful way for a most wonderful reason, to know him. So, having said that, back over to chapter 21. So, here's Peter. And Peter is the command, follow me. That's a present tense, command. Be following me. Okay, that's what he said. He said before, verse 15, the end, verse 16, the end, verse 17, the end, I want you to be feeding, shepherding my sheep. I want you to feed them. And Peter's going to do that. But it's going to take the Spirit of God to make it happen. Verse 19, follow thou me, the end, follow me. So if you can just imagine, here they are on the beach. And there's Peter, James, and John, Thomas, and two disciples. And here they are. And our Lord turns around after talking to Peter and telling him this. He's going to die. He tells him how he's going to die. And then he says, follow me to fulfill what I have in mind, God's wonderful plan for Peter. And so Peter gets up and follows. So he's following. Yes, our Lord starts off from the beach, and Peter's following him. Now, hang on. And verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? In other words, remember, in John 13, he wants to know, Peter says, John, would you ask Jesus, since you're right next to him, would you ask him who it is that's going to betray? That's John. So here's Peter walking, and here's our Lord. Peter and following our Lord. And Peter being of his, that's his nature, Peter wanting to look around, but know about everything else. So he turned his head around, and lo and behold, verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? What about him? About me, I'm going to die, I'm following you. And I turn around, and there's John. John is following you. That's right. And remember, in verse 20, whom Jesus loved, in the middle of the verse, Jesus loved him. That's what Peter needs to get. But he didn't understand it. John does. You didn't have to beg John about anything. John's going to follow. And he is. And assuming Thomas followed and James followed and the two disciples followed. Assuming they're all following. But Peter notices John. John, what about that guy? What about, I'm going to go die. What about him? What about him, Lord? That's what he wants to know. He wants to know about him. So therefore, and in the light of that, verse 22, and Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? It's none of your business, Peter. None of your business. I'm going to do with him what I do with you, and I'm going to do each thing as I come along and do what I do in a most wonderful way. So I'm going to do what I do. God is going to do each thing in its own way. And so God, Peter. Now, in order to catch that flavor of what's happening, here's Peter wanting to know what someone else is going to do. And often we do that. Well, we get busy. The word busybody, Peter's going to use it, because that's what he is. Busy, wants to know about other people. What about other people? What about them? How about them? About me? I'm feeling this. I'm going through this. Well, what about them, you see? What about them? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, that's what we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 10, and if I can find it, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, picking up, please, you'll catch it in the light of the context, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. See, the grass is greener in the other yard. I'm looking at the other yard. I should be glad about my own yard. I should be caring for my own yard. That's what I should be doing. Looking. We get tied up in all kinds of things. God allows one thing over here and a different thing over here at the same time. And you want to know why it isn't the same. There's 1,000,000,000 reasons in the mind of God why it isn't the same. But we don't know them. God does. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. So God is doing what he's doing, the way he's doing it, and we need to look and trust him. Now, hang on. Now, having said that, keep in mind, over to check all this out, over to Luke and chapter 9, and you read it in the light of all we're looking at. And in Luke chapter 9, you will pick up chapter 9 and in verse 57. And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to follow you. That's the same verb, to follow somebody, to follow them, to get from A to B to C. I'm following after. It's the military following orders from the general. It's the servant following orders from the master of the house, etc. Except the student following information as the teacher teaches. The student is following the teacher's thinking, teaching. That's the word, to follow. God said, follow me. Now, here's Luke, and they're asking, verse 58, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds have air, of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to go to lay his head. There's nothing on earth that I can save. I'm condemning it all. I condemn it, I will condemn it on Calvary's cross. There's no place for me. Well, if I can just trust you, God, I'd have a wonderfully earthly home. No, no, there's no place to have an earthly home. I'm going to create a new heavens and a new earth. So you're not going to have that. If you're going to follow me, you're going to go where I'm going. And I'm taking care. You have to understand what's going to happen. So therefore, verse 59, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. They're dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. In other words, you aren't going to help the dead person. We have funerals and all of those things. They're there. But what do? We can't do one thing. Once a person passes on, their heart stops beating. There's nothing you can say or do. Jump around, burn 1,000 candles. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. No, you can't. Stay. You that are alive, keep being alive. Learn the lesson, like in Ecclesiastes, the greatest, most wonderful time in your life is in the house of mourning, not in the house of feasting and partying. It's in the house of mourning that you get the great lesson you need to know. You need to be alive. You need to be saved. Now, hanging on quickly, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, same verb, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. In other words, I got to say goodbye. But they don't. But Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. They aren't able to do it. No. Now, hang on to that and put that immediately, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. When Peter, James, and John started, how did they start? Now, James, Matthew chapter 4, picking up, please, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, fish or no fish, they left their nets. Peter, did you say goodbye to your wife? No. You just left. You dropped your net and followed him. That's what he said. They followed him for 3 1/3 years. They followed him day and night. Now, after his resurrection, it looked like it was gone because they didn't. He's gone. He wasn't really gone, but gone to them. And we have nothing. We're just like we were. Now, having said that, in Sidon and Pekin, verse 20 again. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. Now that's what they did. Now all of a sudden, after his resurrection, and here they are crossing the, going out in the, on the Sea of Galilee, fishing and all that stuff, doing that. And here they are, forgetting again. Did it change? You were able to follow him for 3 1/3 years. You did it all the way to the resurrection. And what do you say? Did anything change? Nothing changed. God said, follow me. I didn't change anything. You've got to complete the journey. You can't enjoy, you can't pass the test, multiplication. You can't pass the test if you don't study, and we're going to exercise all the multiplication that we need so that when the test comes, you can pass the test. Follow me. I'm going to make you Peter, James, and John. What am I going to do? I'm going to give you the Spirit of God is going to bring into your life all that's missing. All that I promised you, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all that I promised you, all that I told you, you don't remember even, Peter. No, you don't remember, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do everything that I said, and you have to follow me all the way to graduate. You have to follow me to enjoy the benefits. You have to finish the course. So Peter, you aren't quite with it, but Jesus said, follow me. To John is going to follow anyway, and Thomas is going to follow, and James is going to follow, and all of them are going to follow, all the way to the upper room, etc. And wait, and the Spirit of God is going to do a wonderful thing, but you got to hang in there. Say, well, I don't feel it yet. I don't know it yet. You hang in there. God, you got to help me to get there, to understand. I'm struggling with this and struggling with that. I think that and I don't understand this. Hang in there. You've got to get through that. And it becomes rather simple. You know it yourself. Think of the things you did when you did the multiplication table. You did the multiplication table, and at least some of us remember, 2 times 2 is 4. We remember. It stays with us. We benefit. We benefit. We learned it. We got it. We benefit from understanding it. We can use it. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful, wonderful kindness. Now, And while you're here in Matthew, take a look at it, chapter 10. And in chapter 10, you'll see it again. Matthew chapter 10, in the light of the context, sliding down, to verse 36. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth, there's your little verb, followeth after me is not worthy of me. You may have said, God said, God, did you ever change? No, follow me. I told you. You believe I'm God? I am God. Do you understand about God? No. Keep following me. You're going to learn. You're going to understand. You're going to learn if you quit. You can't go to school for 3 days and then drop out. You're going to stay through the course, stay through the class, stay through the learning. Otherwise, you didn't get there. Now, so having said that, now on the other side of the coin, go with me so you'll see it, if I can, Peter, Psalm 25. A psalm, you know it, but just to lock it in again in the light of what we're looking at. Psalm 25. And you will note, and David's helping us understand, to grow and to know. In particular, in the light of the psalm, Psalm 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God will teach the way that he chooses. Everyone is different. Personality, background, experience, reaction to whatever, all of that is stored up from each day you live on planet, each day you live on planet Earth. It's part of your experience. And you have to what? You have to get, God has to help us. In other words, the diet and food I live in over here and the diet and food you have over here are two different things. So what you're going to do in helping them with their metabolism and everything, it's one thing over here, it's another thing over here. Two different things. People are different. They get all the other things. So God has to be wonderfully, individually going to help us. That's what he's going to do. It's personal. That's why Paul said, God said to the Lord, Peter, it's none of your business. I have to help each person to get where I want them. We're all going to go to you want the same thing for each one of us, that we can be conformed to his image and likeness. That's correct. But to get there, it isn't the same journey. It isn't the same process. I have to do differently. What I use over here, I have to do different over here in order to get them. All going the same direction, all for the same to graduate the same way in a most wonderful way. I will teach in the way that I will choose. Now, having said that, over to Philippians, which you know. I'm just trying to lock it in to myself and for you maybe till you get it. Peter, you're busy about everybody else. It's about your life. It's about your heart. If you get your heart right, you'll be lined up with the rest of us. So Philippians, you know it. You know it. We do it all the time. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I'm going to even read, just for the sake, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun, Philippians 1, 6, hath begun a good work, where in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God, when you got saved, God started, like we shared, God started a wonderful thing to bring you to the image of his son, like we did in Sunday school. to know him. That's what John did. He saved. It started. The minute you got saved, you had to start being saved. Start enjoying being forgiven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but in much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out the other guy. Work out your friends. Work out your parents. No. Work out your own. Draw a circle. We've said it a thousand times. Draw a circle and stand in it and let God do a wonderful work in your heart. The minute you're trying to do this, compare yourself and everything, you're getting all, you're mixing pieces in that don't belong in your life. It's your life, your experience. It's what you feel. That's what God is working with, to change you, to enjoy him. Now, so therefore, work out your own salvation. So you can't save your wife, you can't save your husband, you can't save your children, you can't save anybody. The only one you can save is you. You enjoy being saved, exercise being saved. Now, having said that, remember Philippians 1:6? God has started a wonderful work. And we're to work out that relationship. Here's the teacher. Here's the student. Here's the master. Here's the servant. And we're to what? We're to learn how to exercise this, to be a student, to exercise to be a servant, to exercise to be a soldier. I have to learn. Therefore, verse 13, God, how are we going to learn? Well, you can't learn without me. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's going to do his wonderful work in your heart and in your head. That's what he's going to do. And he's got that in your life. And forget it. We have all the different things we do. And we don't center. God said, follow me. Why? So that you can what? Grow. Don't follow. Everyone's doing what they're doing. Peter's going to follow. And God said, listen, without turning back there, in John 21, God said about Peter, if I want Peter to live till I come, that's my business. And by the way, Peter is going to die, 66, 67, right in there. And then Paul's going to die, 68. Nero dies too, and dies. Now, John, where's John? Well, if we go from that point, if we go from when they are, John 21, we have to go 65 years. And John is the last living apostle. God kept him as the last one alive to write the book of Revelation. He kept him. See, God said, if I wanted, and by the way, he said, if I wanted to, and we can't do it tonight, that wonderful truth coming up. If I want to keep him till I come, I'm coming. In my Father's house of what? John 14, many mansions and abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would have told you. If I want him to keep alive till I come, I could have him alive until the day I want to come. No problem. If I want to do it, said God. But that isn't what I'm going to do. Wow. God outworks what he does. Peter dies. Paul dies. John lives. God's will in a most wonderful way. Over if I can. And you know, looking into the perfect law of liberty, etc. So here's John, follow me. And Peter is going to follow, it's present tense, command, follow him. And we share together, he's going to go after him, Paul, in a most wonderful way. Over to John chapter 12, And in John chapter 12, you remember, as we did it, our Lord helping the believer to understand, picking verse 25, I'll read verse 24 even. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The seed in the ground dies. Its roots go down, and its roots go, fruit goes up, and you have a plant, a corn, beets, carrots, the seed. It's just a seed. But the seed in the package has to die, or there is no life. Except Christ die on the cross, there is no life. And he died. What did he do when he died? He took your life and mine. He took us to Calvary's cross. The wages of sin is death. He paid the price. What's the price? Death. He took me, you, to the cross, and he died. He died. When he died, he didn't need to die. He bore my sin in his own body on the tree, and I died so that I could have life. Now, here we are in John 12, verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto the life eternal. Now, verse 26, if any man, 30, may or may not, if any man serve me, let him follow me. There's your little word. Follow me. Then where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So what are we doing? So what is the Lord? He didn't say follow Peter. He didn't say follow John. He said follow me. What does Paul say? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, follow me as I am following Christ. What's the believer doing? Following. Where's he going? He's following God's will in his most wonderful way. That's what he's going to do. I want to have God's will for my life. That's what I want. I'm going to follow. And when I follow, that's what I'm going to do. If you look, you're going to follow. If we follow Paul with all the epistles, we're going to end up with God. If we follow John, we're going to end up, follow Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, we're going to end up with God. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to, if we follow him. If we follow you and you follow me, how close will I get you, will you get me to God? If I follow you, how close will you get me to God? That's what I want to know. Follow me, not follow each other. Follow me. Follow him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God will do his most wonderful, wonderful work in a most wonderful way in your life. And it isn't anything. God is here. And he inches us along. We're always in the classroom. We're always being exercised in the classroom and out of it. And if we look to God and trust God, how are we going to do it as simply and wonderfully? God, what are you saying to Peter and all of them and to us? John 15 and verse 5. Follow, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. For without me, you'll never have any fruit. Without me, you have zero. I don't need God. You got zero. Zero. What's the branch do? The branch rests in the vine, in the tree, and just abides. The branch, we share all these things. The branch isn't worried. The branch isn't fearing. The branch isn't frustrated. The branch isn't depressed. The branch isn't wondering how it's going to come out, government-wise and every otherwise. No, the branch is resting in the tree. The tree takes care of the branch. God takes care of the believer that's abiding, and God takes care. Your job and my job isn't to worry and sweat and get frustrated about everything. Our job is to abide calmly, carefully, simply in who he is. And God does a wonderful thing in our life. Simply as that. Peter, you're learning it. It's going to cost you a little bit, but you're going to fumble through. And Peter has learned. You and I need to have what they're going to have. A relationship to God. Without me, you can do nothing. Peter and all of them need that. That's what I need. That's what they needed. Otherwise, I'm left with my own little life, the absence of God. And I want to what? I want to look to God to give me that which I don't have, a relationship to his awesome person, to enjoy his care and his love. That's what I need. And I don't make it happen. God just does it because he's God. God's going to be God. And we just need to let him be God. Our Father and God deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. And our Father, thank you very much for all that you do and don't do and how you do it. We don't understand it all, but God, you do. So help us. Don't let us drift aside. Don't let us go off on the deep end. God, help us to stay right in the middle, looking to you to be a good student, to be a good servant, to be a good soldier, looking to you, God, that we might have all the benefit that goes with those relationships. And our Father will thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.